Well, happy Father's Day, you motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't want to think about the things that I did in my past that I'm not exactly proud of.
Yeah. I mean, technically, that joke is both correct and offensive.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you met my ex-wife?
No.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Negative One Podcast.
Correct.
Where you have negative one friends.
If you were male and had progeny, congratulations.
Yes. Yeah. Way to go for... Shoot and leave. Shoot and leave.
Oh, brother.
Actually, shoot and scoot. Come and go. Ejaculate and evacuate.
It's like a whole litany of these?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a convenience store called the Come and Go.
Okay.
Yeah. So I remember seeing on Reddit, somebody had pictured that and went, come and go. Yeah, the shoot and scoot. The ejaculate and evacuate.
Good grief. Well, this is downhill quickly.
Drop your load and hit the road.
I don't want to laugh at that, but I am. Shit. Well, welcome to the Negative One Podcast, where Thomas made me watch the most 90s thing I think I've ever seen.
Welcome to the 90s.
This is so 90s, it subverts the 90s, but still ends up being the 90s.
Yes. Yes, it was supposed to be about counterculture in the 90s,
and
it was about the entire 90s.
Yeah. What was the other movie that we did that was super, super 90s? It was the one that has like Liv Tyler in it. It was the...
Empire Records. Yeah, that is another very 90s movie.
This is like that, but the other side of the coin.
Well, these was also a counterculture movie.
These are the kids that were too cool to shop at that record store.
Or too nerdy.
Right.
To shop at the...
what an interesting thing.
Oh, man. Cyberpunk era, man.
It's like a Jackson Pollock painting where... If you just glance
ejaculate
at it,
and evacuate.
Well, if you glance at it real quick, you're like, oh, that's a piece of shit. Then you look at it, you're like, there's a lot going on.
Right. So it's really funny. I used to have, it was a jokey, not comedy, but comedy book about how to be more cyberpunk.
Oh, God.
It was like dress up stuff and, you know, things about hacker culture. And it was very tongue in cheek. And I was really into it back in the mid-90s. When I first got on the internet and stuff was 93 or 94. So I grew up with that. And, you know, hacking was a thing. People still used BBSs. Like, I still use BBSs. And it was an interesting time. So I grew up with this. And these were the things that I was most interested in because it was very subversive and... Fuck your parents type of lifestyle.
We'll talk about it all in a minute.
I have something fun for you. I want to do before we do. What have you been doing lately?
Yeah, we hinted this last week. Yeah.
So, what it is I'm part of a Facebook group. You're gonna roll your eyes, but it's the Mabim Bambinos.
Oh, can you guys hear it? Can you hear it? It's like ball bearings going rusted in my eyes from rolling around so fucking much.
It's like your eyes are one of those fidget spinner things.
Okay, fidget spinners.
Oh God,
let's pause. I don't go in public a lot, nor do I know any high schoolers. But I imagine that fidget spinners are either really annoying to teachers,
mm-hmm.
or are used by people who also vape. And don't wear any clothes that fit properly.
So that all makes sense because that in itself is a Bim Bam reference.
I feel like
the vaping.
I feel like those who use fidget spinners that create the negative memes on the internet of people that hate fidget spinners. Mm-hmm. I want to say that the crossover population between them and vape shop customers is about 100%. Now, I made this joke last night at a party and someone said, oh, yeah. There's a vape shop that has a rack of fidget spinners in it. It's like, oh my goodness.
Well, yeah. It's
so just, I don't get the hate. Like, I don't understand all the hate memes and all the anger, but I'm sure that if it's...
For one thing, they're fucking annoying. And
they don't make any sound.
They just spin in your hand. They're distracting. If you're a teenager in math class, or if you're a teacher in math class and you're turning around and three of people are spinning the things and not doing what they should be doing.
I'm sure this comes as a shock to our audience, but I have adult ADD. Like I have...
But that's the difference.
I have like severe, let's talk about ducks for a minute kind of problem. and I'm a customer of the Fidget Cube, And the fidget cube is fantastic.
Yes.
Now, to me, I don't understand how the spinner actually does anything to curb a physical tick or an intention kind of distraction. Because I'm a leg shaker. I like to shake my legs, or I'll drum beats that are in my head. I'll drum them with my hands and my legs. But the fidget cube is really good.
The cube is good because it's all tactile, which is the point of...
A fidget spinner is just kind of like there.
Yeah, I've spun one and like moved it up and down, and there's a very pleasant feeling of that resistance as it goes up and down.
Yeah.
And so
centrifugal resistance to vertical movement.
Yep, that's exactly what it is, and it's very pleasant, and I can see that that would be a calming thing for somebody who needs it. But in the cube, because you can just put that in your pocket and nobody has to see it, and it's all about your tactile response to it, the problem is that fidget spinners, quote unquote, look cool, and people do tricks with them for no freaking good reason, that it became pervasive in normative people, people not on the spectrum. And that's where I have a problem with them, and I own one.
Speaking of on the spectrum, we'll talk about hackers in a minute. So
can I finish?
Let's go forward with
This was in a group that I'm in. It's the Mabim Bambinos Film Appreciation Group. So, yeah, it's a McElroy, McElverse-related thing. But basically, it's a bunch of people talking about movies and, you know, with similar interests and whatnot.
Right.
One of the members, Amanda Tasser, started creating polls every day. And they were usually, it's two movies or three movies that of these, which are better. There's no concept, you don't you can talk in the comments, but it's not like, oh, which one was the better action adventure?
Cast your vote, ask questions later.
Yeah, it's just, of these two, quick answer, which one's better, right? Me and you, on a Friday, went through a shit ton of these. So I want to play the game again.
Yep. I might change some answers this time.
That's what I'll make mention if I do, because I have the whole log. Jaws or The Thing?
Jaws. I haven't seen The Thing, but I say Jaws.
I voted The Thing, having seen Jaws now.
Yeah, now what?
It's Jaws.
Yeah.
But The Thing is still very good.
Never seen it.
Mean Girls or Heathers?
I've never seen Heathers, but Mean Girls is good.
Yeah, same thing. Never saw Heathers. They actually did a film club, but I couldn't join to watch it. So Harry Met Sally or Sleepless in Seattle?
Never seen either.
Okay. All right. I did, I think I did Sleepless in Seattle. This one was fun. Shaun of the Dead or Zombieland?
Oh, that hurts.
Actual quote from you when we did this first time. Holy crap, my soul hurts.
I think I was a contrarian because I'm a giant Edgar Wright fan. And my hang up lies in that I have a special place in my heart for Shaun of the Dead. But Shaun of the Dead is not as good as Hot Fuzz or Scott Pilgrim. And then you think about Zombieland and how accessible and consistent and roller coaster-y it is.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I originally said Zombieland, but I've actually kind of like doubled back on this. And I think Shaun of the Dead's better.
Your original answer was Zombieland. That's my answer.
But it was hard.
And apparently the vote went 45-3.
Oh my God.
In favor of Zombieland.
You know, dogs can't look up. Yes, they can't think about it.
Let's see here. Ch-ch-ch. Casablanca or Citizen Kane?
Citizen Kane.
No.
I haven't seen Casablanca.
But have you Citizen seen Kane is Citizen like. Citizen Kane.
Yes, but it's like the greatest fuck you ever.
Because you wrote down.
Did I say that I haven't?
Never seen either, but Citizen Kane, because Orson Welles was a master of hating people.
That's correct. I don't think I've sat and done the whole of Citizen Kane, but I've seen the big tracks that matter in a film class.
Here's the quote. Screw you, William Randolph Hearst. I'm going to make the greatest film of all time about how much a horrible person you are. Succeeds. William Randall Hearst is like, what the fuck?
They got in an argument in an elevator. That's literally how it happened.
Dirty. Just moving on. Dirty Dancing or Grease?
Never seen either.
Now,
Patrick Swayze. Yeah.
I did Dirty Dancing because I can't stand Grease. That's not true.
If it's Angela. On, no, wait, that's not it.
Sandy.
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 I don't know.
I
Did I just mess up Who's the Boss?
Yeah. With you did. You sure did. I will watch Grease if it's on, and I know every song. I really liked it in high school, but fuck that movie.
Well, the thing that I like about Grease is the home movies joke, Bye Bye Greasy, when they did the school play. And it was a 100% mix of Bye Bye Verdi and Grease. And what I loved about it is there's a scene where John McGurk drives a car on stage and his windows get stuck because his car is like a sports car, but it's a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
His window gets stuck and he does a whole solo song singing through a car window. And in the car, they keep cutting to him in the car and he's singing his heart out. And they cut outside.
It's all mounted.
It's so fucking funny. And I'll race. And I'll race. Like, it kills me every time.
Galaxy Quest or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
All right. So I remember this one in specificity because the answer is Galaxy Quest.
No. The answer is Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
That's correct. That's what I was about to say. Is that Galaxy Quest from those two options?
Yes.
Galaxy Quest wins. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey is far superior to both.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's not even fucking close.
Clueless or Emma?
I've never seen Emma, but I didn't like Clueless, so I'm probably just going to give it to Emma.
This is fun. Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter?
All right, we just argued about this. Yes. This is actually what brought this up last week. Here's the thing. I feel like...
We had this argument already. It's great.
I gotta say Mortal Kombat. Did I say Street Fighter?
Oh no, you did say Mortal Kombat, but for a weird reason.
Because it's worse. I feel like Mortal Kombat is worse. And the reason is because the Mortal Kombat story, like they tried to build that, the multiple realms. The
mythology of it is kind of dumb.
And it's fucking bad. Like, they've never figured it out. It's never made sense. Ed Boon is like, oh, I created a universe. It's like, no, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You created a fatality and then tried to explain it later.
Yep, that's exactly
Calm down, Ridley Scott. fucking shots fired today. Here's the thing with Street Fighter. The Street Fighter movie is as much of a shit show as the Street Fighter game is. It's everything it's supposed to be.
How are you going to expound upon that storyline?
You can't. You don't. People just pair up randomly and fight. And, now, and to me...
The cartoon was good.
The cartoon was great. The Street Fighter film is a bit of a mess, but it's kind of supposed to be. I like Mortal Kombat more because it takes itself so fucking seriously. I think that Mortal Kombat's a worse movie. See, now, you completely disagree with me.
I dug Mortal Kombat. Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's a summer film. It is about a video game. It's not done well. It's way early, and it didn't have a lot to go on as far as the backstory to begin with, right? Trying to flesh something out that was originally a one-sentence explanation.
According to Midway, it's a very diverse storyline.
Okay. But at least adding the realms and the gods and the all this random bullshit can explain some of the more fantastic elements of it.
It's where Jackie Chan had to combat Shaka Khan.
Street Fighter doesn't have a whole lot of that. It's hard to explain, like where the magical parts of it come from and all that, and it's just a mess. Like,
if you haven't listened to the How Did This Get Made for Street Fighter,
I've not.
Fix your life. It is so, you know how sometimes June goes a little bit off the rails and then you can't, like, everyone just stops to laugh at her because they can't help it.
Yeah,
Street Fighter's probably the best one.
I'm gonna have to, because I remember seeing it, and yeah, it was video games when I was a teenager and really 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 into video games.
Yeah,
and like I everything's great. Anything that's based off a video game is great. And then I saw Street Fighter and was like, oh no, this can be bad. You can do bad things. Like, this is bad. This was a bad thing.
Did I ever tell you what the first time I ever realized a movie could be bad? T3. I saw Terminator. I saw Terminator 3 and it ended and I looked at my friend and I said, I think that was bad. I think that was
bad doesn't mean unentertaining.
Didn't say that.
Right.
But the ending was stupid, and it was the first time we were both, like, aged enough to go, Yeah, I'm not happy with that.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay.
Keep,
so
let's
yeah,
do this. You, keep okay. going. Survey.
I'm
continue.
I'm going on point. All right. Threefer.
Oh yeah.
Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, or 16 Candles.
That's a stacked deck. Breakfast Club always wins.
I agree.
It's
I,
like it's I, a, if, I now agree. If you went down to just Pretty in Pink and 16 Candles, that's where it gets hard.
All right, let's do that because we've not done that.
I think that I would probably go 16 Candles.
I would too.
I think I would.
Only because of that's the one with Long Duk Dong.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That he made that movie for me.
Where what's, is my automobile?
What's happening? Hot stuff. Which is so racist, but so funny.
Oh, dude, come on. Let's talk about how great Short Round is. Dr. Jones! Dr. Jones! I'm a horrible stereotype, Dr. Jones!
Now, here's another one. This is the sequel. Oh, wait. No, that was you. You asked me Breakfast Club versus War Games.
Oh, yeah. See, now that's a better... That right there is a better argument.
Breakfast Club.
Really?
Go with. I like War Games, oh, but Beck, Breakfast
Ali
Club was
Sheedy.
The better
I love movie. Ali Sheedy so much.
I do, too. The spaz. Alien or Predator?
Predator.
Fuck you.
All day.
Fuck you.
Predator all day.
Fuck you.
Predator
Alien all day. Day. Or day.
Man, I'm sorry, but it's just... It's Predator is better.
And you know what? That's where you said, we should do this on the air.
Predator
is hacky, even... crappy, summer movie BS. Yes, it's fun, but it's not a good movie.
Oh, fuck off. Yes,
get to the chopper.
Jesse Ventura.
Fuck.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You.
The fucking mud hiding from the... Oh, dude, come on. It's so good. When he goes commando mode in that movie, fuck off. It's like Wally. It's so good and there's no dialogue.
Mommy Dearest. Serial Mom, Mama, or Goodnight Mommy?
I've only seen two, that, and I said Mama.
Of course, that came out on Mother's Day.
Yeah. That one doesn't matter.
I went with Mommy Dearest.
Yeah, no more wire hangers.
No more wire hangers. Which was based on Joan Crawford.
Correct.
Which we watched Feud. Feud was wonderful if you haven't seen it.
Nope.
Here's one I've never heard of. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead, or Shakespeare in Love.
Neither.
I've never seen either one of them. Couldn't tell you. Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Or Alice in Wonderland. And we'll go with the cartoon.
Yeah, I said the cartoon Alice in Wonderland. Because the regular Wizard of Oz is good. Man, that's hard.
It is tough.
I think I got it. I don't know.
It was tough for me. I voted Wizard. But if I had to go back and redo it today, I would vote for Alice in Wonderland.
Yep.
Only the cartoon. Live action is crap. I mean, it's entertaining, but...
How many more of these we got?
Quite a few.
It's just going long.
I don't care. Anchorman or Dodgeball?
I hate Anchorman, so Dodgeball.
Really?
Also, you've never seen Dodgeball.
I've never seen all of Dodgeball.
We're going to do that as our back-to-school movie this year.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, you mentioned that.
We got it.
Batman Returns or The Dark Knight Rises?
See, now here's the problem, and you and I agreed on this. The Dark Knight, not Rises, Dark Knight.
Dark Knight wins.
Is the greatest
that's
Batman
the stack,
film.
That's the stack deck.
That is the greatest Batman film ever. Right behind it is the original Michael Keaton Batman. Mm. And then right behind that is the Adam West Batman. That entire arc. Don't laugh because you know it's legit. And then we can argue. Now, I say Batman Returns because... Dark Knight Rises fizzles out in the end. Bane dies a bitch's death.
Anticlimactic.
It's super because anticlimactic.
Because
and
the real villain was Talia.
The real villain isn't enough gravity. They didn't sell it hard enough to make you go, oh, shit, and then Bane dies off. You're like, yeah, whatever, I'm interested in this other thing now.
Mm-hmm.
They built Bane up too much.
I liked... Joker always wins. I mean, he always does, right? But...
Gotta see Lego Batman.
My second favorite, I do. My second favorite Batman villain, Scarecrow.
Not so good in Dark Knight or Batman Begins.
I thought he was good in Batman
really?
Begins. Yes.
He's not
and,
bad.
And
he's
Ra's al Ghul was, or Ra's
well,
al Ghul
yeah,
was.
Yeah, that's insane.
I mean, it's Liam Neeson. Yeah. I mean, fuck.
It's Leslie Nielsen.
Could you see that? Could you see Leslie Nielsen?
Frankly, I want to destroy Gotham. And don't call me Shirley.
Fargo or No Country for Old Men?
Fargo. It hurts, but Fargo.
I agree. Fifth Element or Sixth Sense?
Fifth Element. Hands down, immediately.
Here's the thing. And now that I've watched it in retrospect, now I see Chris Tucker dressed up in that. It's Chris Tucker, right?
Yeah.
In that movie. And I think Effie from fucking Hunger Games.
Fifth Element is such a damn good movie.
You apparently, let's see here. What's next? Ah, directors. Sam Raimi or Wes Craven?
All right. So you can't do this without talking about Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, I know.
And Sam Raimi tries to blame a lot of people for Spider-Man 3 being Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
It was written poorly, for one.
At the end of the day.
He's the one who
he made a turd.
Yep.
And the worst part of the film is that stupid fucking moody dance scene.
Yep.
And he directed every damn second of it.
And the casting of Topher Grace.
That being said.
Eddie Brock.
At least Sam Raimi is diverse and original.
True.
And Wes Craven found a way to go and kind of kept doing it over and over and over again.
I agree.
I give the nod to Sam Raimi on the grounds that we
mainly
all accept.
For Evil Dead.
Yes. And Army of Darkness. But now. Yeah. But mainly on the grounds that we all accept that Spider-Man 3 was his fault. He wins a little, he loses a little.
Lost Boys or Fright Night?
I don't care for Lost Boys. I just don't care for the Lost Boys.
I
think it's an overrated film of the 80s. Like, I think it's not.
It's okay. Kiefer Sutherland was good in it.
I don't really disagree, but Fright Night. Yeah.
I'll tell you my favorite part of Lost Boys is the song Cry Little Sister.
Yeah.
I love that song. Let's see here. Guardians of the Galaxy or Avengers?
Not even close. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Agree. Blazing Saddles or Spaceballs?
All right. So, I remember this one. This one is hard because Blazing Saddles is much more intelligent. Much funnier. Much more clever. But the jokes per minute and the hits per minute and the bust out loud laughs are sparse, shockingly.
Mm-hmm.
Spaceballs is a better viewing experience, but I don't like that film nearly as much as Blazing Saddles.
I grew up loving Spaceballs. Like, so it was one of my favorites growing up.
I go Spaceballs just because I'll get more entertainment in a room full of drunk friends.
Gotcha. I don't think I've ever finished Blazing Saddles. I've started it, and it seems like every time I've started it, something has come up, and I've never come back.
Spaceballs 2, The Quest for More Money.
No, Spaceballs 3, The Search for Spaceballs 2. Spaceballs 2 is the search for more money.
Search for more money.
Let's see here. Add Young Frankenstein to the mix.
Young Frankenstein wins
all the way,
down.
Every day. All right, are you ready? This was the last one of that original conversation.
Okay.
Ready? All right. You sure? You have to be ready.
I'm ready.
All right. I actually had a hard time with this one. Seven.
Studio
or
Studio.
Silence of the Lambs.
Seven.
That was quick.
I'm not proud of it.
Yeah. Slow that shit down.
Seven.
Honestly, sit and think.
I am. The character studies are so good. Like, the characters of Buffalo Bill and Hannibal Lecter and Clarice and. But Seven is so fucking good. Seven is such a better told story. And it's so interesting. And they build this like mythical box that you just wonder what's in it.
You have to give Silence of the Lambs credit for Hannibal Lecter. And just he's fully fleshed out. He's terrifyingly fleshed out. Clarice and her whole black backstory. Now, given credit that it was a book to begin with. And then Buffalo Bill and just all of his motivation and all that. But man,
Seven's too good.
All of that is as good as what Norton does with a quarter of the screen time of any of those characters in Seven. And, you know, Norton's only in the last half hour of that movie.
Yeah.
But it was just so well written.
I gotta go Seven. I'm answering it way too fast and I'm way too into it, but that's the fact.
So that's as far as I'm going to go with it. There's been seven more since then, and I'm not going to go through them. That was a lot of fun, and it took up a chunk of time.
Do you want to quickly say what you've been doing lately?
So I actually got my Father's Day gift last Monday.
Yeah.
And I have been doing things with it. Ew.
Did you get a real doll?
Yes, Lars and the Real Girl. I got the entire Rock Band kit.
Oh, nice.
Drums, two guitars, the cymbals extension, a microphone, all of it. And I have been, because I've played Rock Band and Guitar Hero and all that. I can play the guitar okay. I'm not great. But man, if I'm not playing the shit out of some drums.
Yes.
I sucked day one and day two. Now I can five star an easy song for the most part. It's interesting. There's one that I hate because I can get to 5 9/10 stars. And it's Dream Theater.
Yep.
Metropolis.
Yeah, part one. Oh, scenes from
God. Memory.
Yeah. Welcome to learning the hard reality that Rock Band and Guitar Hero teaches people, that we metalheads are a very terrible breed of people, but damn it if we're not talented and good at math.
I watched somebody on hard or expert or whatever play that on an Ion kit.
Because my friend's got an Ion kit,
which you can plug into Rock Band. Yeah. So I watched him play it on hard and get five stars, and I was like, I don't understand how your body moves that quickly. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
So yeah, Rock Band.
Woo! Hooray!
Yeah, had a lot of fun. What have you been up to? Oh, did I catch you?
Time to talk.
Unawares?
Time to talk about killing animals, Thomas.
Oh yay!
Well, so I was going to go on a coyote hunt because they're a nuisance species, quote unquote. But then I did a whole bunch of research and learning, and coyotes are kind of interesting because they balance out predator light ecosystems. So they're actually not really bad for your area. And a lot
until it eats a child.
Well, and the problem is that and this is actually true. There's science to back it up. Most things that get killed or drug off by like a big predator, mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, it's actually a barn owl. Barn owls are huge and they're fucking vicious and they ruthlessly kill things. They eat until they're full and they leave the carcasses behind. So a lot of the times when you find animals that got fucked up and half eaten and then left there, actually it's an owl. Coyotes are pretty well known for dragging things apart and the body is in several places and whatever, and they fight over the food. So that's one thing, is that they kind of get blamed for being an aggressive predator and people overhunt them and stuff. But the other thing that's kind of crazy about coyotes is that if their populations seem low when they do their howling call once a week and they kind of like do a census of their area, if they hear the howls come back and they think the numbers are low, a couple different hormones get released in the females and their brood sizes, they can have 3 times as many puppies.
Huh.
So if you go to eradicate a herd of coyote, you have to take them all out, or you just like doubled the number of coyotes that you have to deal with in your area.
Nice.
And that's too many. And then that starts food competition. Right. So it's either you take them all out or you take none out. That's the only way to have a good balance. So I kind of was like, you know what? I'm going to back off hunting coyotes. I live in Butler County, Ohio. In northern Butler County, they want people to stop killing them. In the south, they're kind of like, yeah, if you guys want to start getting them, you can. We got to balance this out. And I was like against it. I didn't really want to kill coyotes. There's no meat in there. It's just killing an animal to save your property. And I think that's wrong. Now, that being said, we heard this explosive racket out under our deck. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And eventually I kind of put the sounds together. And I'm like, oh shit, there are 2 male raccoons fighting under my deck right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the fighting stopped, all of a sudden, we start hearing barks and howls come from like half an acre or like half a mile away from our house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh no, those raccoons just fought under my house and they brought coyotes in. And so it's like 11 o'clock at night.
Like,
and you start hearing the
like
barks.
Like the sharks brought the greasers in to like help them with their turf war. Or the Jets, yeah.
The Sharks and the Jets, that's
Sharks
right.
Sharks and the Jets.
But so we could hear the coyotes coming in. And they're like, oh, well, fuck, one of them fucked the other one up. We're just going to have a raccoon on the ground to fight over. And I immediately, my dogs started freaking the shit out. And the first thing that went through my head is, which gun do I grab?
I want to kill a coyote. Well, but no, he's, yeah, not in my backyard thinking is what that is.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I have a hunting license and I was okay with killing these things before. And now they're like,
no, I'm
they're not.
They're
here.
But now they're here.
But now they're here.
So now I am again.
And they're bloodthirsty. And they're going to circle my property knowing they can come back here for food.
That's like the underlying backwards racism that I come across on a regular basis.
It was one of those things where
I'm okay with black people except for when they move to my neighborhood. Thanks, Grandma. I appreciate that.
Get out of here, coyotes. This isn't for you. You got schools in your area. That's I know. I'm awful. I'm just trying to think of what terrible older people say.
That hurts my heart that you would say that. Your wife would kill you if she heard you say that.
But I don't feel that way.
I know. You're making a joke.
Your grandmother. So
no, come on.
Well, so like I was at first, I had a dilemma. I'm like, okay, they're okay around my property, but they're literally moving in here to eat something and kill something. They're going to associate this place. So I had to go grab a gun. And then when I went outside, one raccoon was up one tree and another raccoon was up the other tree. They were still hissing at each other, but they kept looking down. And dude, you could hear them. Like you could hear the coyotes circling my property. It was crazy. And you could not see them at all because they have no eye shine unless you hit them with a special kind of red LED light.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can't even see them. So I was sitting on the deck like, all right, if something gets nuts or something finds food or one of those raccoons moves, I'm going to have to take the first shot I can take.
Dude,
it was very tense. It lasted about 90 minutes just sitting on the deck, just waiting it out. Mm-hmm. And eventually the coyotes realized that the raccoons, there was no blood on the ground and they weren't coming down, that they knew that they'd been had, and the coyotes all took off. But it was nuts.
Oh, very interesting.
It was very crazy.
So is that to say that we, if somebody hits us with a specific kind of light, that we would have eye shine?
Humans have eye shine on any kind of generated light.
Oh, we
do? So there's only a few animals where you can use eye shine as an identifier. Wild pigs have no eye shine at all. So if you see something moving in the brush and you think you can make out a head and then you flash a light on it or you flash a light over it and no eye shine comes back, it's one of two things. It's a coyote or it's a pig. And then you can differentiate coyote from pig, number one, by size and smell. But you could differentiate that by switching over to a different night hunting light.
Mm-hmm.
And then that will illuminate a coyote's eyes. If it still doesn't light up, then it's a pig.
See, and I always thought that we...
I told you I'm learning stuff, man.
I didn't think that we had eye shine with regular light. But red eye that comes from the ultra... the infrared.
Yeah.
But regular light
doesn't always do that. But through a scope or something like that, you'll see it.
Oh, I did not know that.
You'll see it.
Oh, okay, cool.
But yeah, it's kind of one of those things I've learned.
Hmm.
But yeah, I had an interesting standoff on my property with some coyotes.
90s the movie.
90s the movie. Hackers. Never knew, I knew this was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the security blogs I like to follow did a hacker movie shootout a couple years ago.
Oh, interesting.
And they did like a big bracket of 32. It was their version of March Madness. Mm. And they did like 32 hacking films.
Mm-hmm.
But their definition of hacking was so loose, like Jurassic Park was on the list.
Well, that's genetic hacking.
Right. So it was like loose.
Well, because there's not a ton of them out there, right?
It was like loose.
The Net, I'm thinking.
I'll see if I can pull it up. It's Ars Technica. Ars Technica is who ran the thing. So I'll pull it up. Maybe we can talk about it later. Now that we've wasted a half an hour on a movie A or movie B.
Hey, that was fun. It was good content. Tell me I'm wrong, internet.
I'll just get one thing out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Angelina Jolie was hot at some time.
She was very young and fresh faced in this movie. This was one of, not her first movie, but this was one of her
first.
That's
John Voight's daughter era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get
this
that.
This is John Voight's daughter era. So let's take our break and then we'll come back and, oh boy, let's have a fun conversation about this movie. Uh-huh.
So,
stop coming back from break with the word so.
Did you recognize any people from this movie besides Angelina Jolie?
The lead guy, I don't think, has been in anything else ever.
He's been in a movie that we watched together. Yes, he has.
What?
He was Sick Boy in Trainspotting.
Oh, shit.
Now you go, oh, yeah.
Whoa. That's interesting.
Yep.
Because in this movie, he's like a piece of cardboard that's good at computers.
Yes. Well, we made this joke.
We can come back to this.
Because of the way that he looks and he's got the frosted blonde hair, right? I looked at Lindsay and looked at, and I said, it's almost as if Eminem and James Vanderbeek had an illegitimate love child. And she, her jaw dropped. She's like, right. Because that is exactly what he looks like.
We'll come back. Yeah. Matthew Lillard.
Who's Matthew Lillard?
He was Shaggy in the new Scooby-Doo movies.
Oh, yeah.
He's a mess. He's a hoot in this movie, huh?
Serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lawrence Mason, who plays Lord Nikon.
Yeah. Because what else is he in? He's in the new... He's in... isn't he in Luke Cage?
He was in... I'm trying to think. He was in The Lincoln Lawyer. I remember that.
I thought he was Luke Cage.
He's not Luke Cage.
No, he isn't Luke Cage, but he's one of the guys in Luke Cage.
Is he?
Yeah, isn't he his brother who has the super suit?
No.
The punch suit?
I think he was in Daredevil. Like, in a single episode. Nope, he was. I don't know who he played.
In Luke Cage, he was the main bad guy. Not the brother that ran the club, but the guy who had the suit that allowed him to punch and hurt Luke Cage.
I don't think that's who you think that's he is. Anyway, it's not important.
Then that's it. Then there's the guy that wears cheetah print, and then the young kid who does not know
how to... The guy who wears cheetah print.
And then there's the young kid who doesn't know how to proxy for shit! this is a fucking weird...
Before proxy was a thing, really.
What a weird movie.
The chain smoke. The guy who was sitting there eating...
I'm not an addict!
He was eating food and had a cigarette in each hand. Like, dude, come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and so, what a strange film.
Yes. Now, I loved this film when I was like 15 years old, 16 years old.
There's almost no plot.
It's pretty thin.
almost no plot.
It's a lot of fear-mongering for the parents and cool things to see and look at for the kids.
Well, and since when did you code in three-dimensional imagery?
Ever? Yeah, we'll come back to that.
Ever.
We'll come back to that.
And the other thing that cracks me up and dates this film so much is that the hacking handles are so bad.
That was the thing now, for Joey was... Wasn't it Joey?
He needed a handle.
I need a handle. You don't have an identity unless you have a handle. Fucker, you don't get it from somebody else. You make it up and force it upon people. That's what you do.
Well, and part of me couldn't figure out if this movie was just written by a shitty team of 90s teen movie makers, or if they really were trying to take it serious and thought these were names that people would use.
Well, I mean, serial killer. I mean, let's be honest, the first phone freak came from somebody called Cap'n Crunch. Did you not know that?
I did know that, but that's not my point.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would think you would.
I'm not talking about...
Well, granted, he was called that because of the whistle that he used, and that's how he figured it out, but still...
Well, hold on. Let's back up. Serial killer became a popular t-shirt at Hot Topic. That's not a bad phrase. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the other ones.
The freak.
Which... Neutral.
Phone freaking.
Neutral. That's fine. Zero Cool.
That one's pretty bad.
Acid Burn. Crash Override.
All three of those in 1995 you would see on forums and BBSs. Sure.
So bad.
They're bad. Oh, sure. Sure. But you would see them.
Yeah.
I mean, my handles are no better. I'm the Nerdly King on Twitter. I used to be Saner Tom, which is a long, drawn-out story. I've been Will Fate was one of my old handles on, like, AOL.
As I've gotten older, like, now I just can't even come up with handles anymore.
Yeah.
I give up. Usually it's, like, initials combined with a number.
This is a funny one. And I used to play a chat room-based... RPG, right? You made a character sheet, you sent it into moderators of this chat room, but the game, There was no like DM like you would play a Dungeons and Dragons. It was literally all about you guys talking. There was a moderator in the room for when a dice roll fight kind of thing happened, but it was all about conversation until you started to try to do certain things. And I remember one of my characters was it was all like vampires and witches. It was called Black Bayou. It was done in like deep Louisiana. One of my characters was a failed minister or preacher or pastor, and his name was Jesse Thorne. Before I ever knew, or even before he was a thing, who Jesse Thorne was.
So, well, and then he became a character on The Walking Dead.
I didn't know that.
The annoying failed preacher guy.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
From like season 5 or whatever.
My character was a human, and he was starting to unravel the mysteries of the town. There's werewolves, there's vampires. I don't understand what's going on. But somebody got hurt once, and he was like, he just needs prayer. He was one of those. It's like, yeah, call for an ambulance, and I'm going to pray him to health. And that, of course, that doesn't work in the game mechanics. He was aspiring to become anything but human, some kind of supernatural creature.
So anyway,
God, I missed that game.
I don't even know where to start with Hackers, man. So the premise
is kind of based on
convoluted and messy.
It's kind of based on what my parents were afraid of with me getting a computer, right?
He's going to hack the mainframe.
Right. They were afraid that I was going to do, because I was really smart, they were afraid I was going to test the waters and end up in jail. My mom didn't want to get a modem for that reason.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I
have notes.
Zero Cool hacks and uploads a virus that takes down 1,507 databases around the world.
1,507 computers, which is not a big number.
Like by modern standards, did you see what just happened to the healthcare industry?
I mean, even
with the fucking WannaCry bug?
Even in 1994 or 5, when this was written, that's not...
That's a couple Kinko's locations.
You have more, like they said, this caused a 7% stock drop. Really? Then it sounds like maybe they should stop using computers then. Like, that's the problem.
The premise is bad. So this kid gets barred from computers until he's 18. And then when he's 18, of course, he's as elite as ever. Or whatever. But it cracked me up that they had a $45,000 fine. And no computers or telecommunications until you're 18.
Yep.
Like,
can't even own a touch-tone phone.
Like, this is why hackers continue to get away with stuff. So we can have a whole fun conversation about the legal proceedings of what happens when you get caught hacking, mm-hmm. or cybercrime or cyber espionage. Fucking nothing.
Well, he was only 11.
Nothing. Most people, you'll get 2 years, you'll get out in 3 months, and you'll pay a fine. Now, doesn't matter how much damage you wrought. Doesn't matter what you did. Doesn't matter how much crime, fraud, embezzlement, how much you facilitated.
Oh, you'd have to pay back what you've stolen.
It's a slap on the wrist, fine and penalty for the hacking act of 1986, and then restitutions. But
right then you have your civil trials. And those are where it gets you.
It cracks me up that people basically don't get in trouble. And every time these kids kept getting arrested, I just kept on laughing like, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Zero Cool was the only one that had any worries because he was previously convicted.
So.
But. Oh, goodness.
I want to talk about my favorite sequence of this movie. And it's very early. Very early. The tape machine fight.
The tape machine fight was interesting.
That was where, when I was watching this in 94 or 95 or 96, whatever, that's where I went, oh, this isn't real life. Because you can't do that with this technology. And then, but it was so fun to watch.
I don't disagree that it's fun. It reminds me a lot of the Max Headroom case.
Yes. Where
Max Headroom used to take over radio broadcasts and television broadcasts and just blast his own little weird videos that no one could explain, and then they all stopped. Imagine if Max Headroom was battling out with another guy on the airwaves.
Yeah.
Trying to make that happen.
Outer Limits, and what was the other show? It was like some weird, boring thing.
Well, they kept on just flipping them around.
For a while.
And they were kind of like using the shows to take shots at each other.
And that became a device to show what Dade was thinking.
Yeah.
Later on. But yeah, that videotape fight with those two fucking robots, that was fun to watch. I loved watching that. What do you do on your 18th birthday after everything has gone away? You take the computer that you really shouldn't own. You at least have a day early. Hook it up to the phone, which was a problem with his mom, and make two tape machine robots fight. That's great.
You know, the tape machine robots have the most emotional range out of any person in the cast.
Yep, pretty much.
It's so fucking weird.
No, I would say The Plague. Don't call me Eugene. Has about the same amount of emotional range.
So, you have the hacking community trying to like interface with each other among that high school ring of friends. Are they in high school or college?
They're all in high school.
Okay.
18. If you're 18, if you just turned 18, you're a senior.
Very unclear. Because there's a lot of leeway with what these kids are allowed to do in high school.
I would agree. For sure. But yeah, they're high school students in New York.
Trying to interface and become friends or enemies or whatever.
Sounds like they're trying to interface.
No one's got personality or anything to offer in friendships. It's very self-serving and ego, or you're made out of fucking cardboard. So we joked about being on the spectrum. Is there something like kind of wrong with Dade?
I didn't see it that way, but I can see why
he's a little stiff and spazzy in like a bad way. I don't know.
I don't remember him being spazzy. I remember him being kind of grumpy at everything.
He's very not engaging.
Well,
it's like watching a 2x4 try and get a girlfriend.
I'll tell you, I didn't mind Dade watching that. And I rewatched it for the purposes of this show because it's been a while, even though I own it. I didn't find him as annoying or whatever as I found Serial Killer. Because Serial Killer plays the same fucking person in everything I ever see. And it's because of the way his face is shaped.
So, I know people that are like him.
Yeah.
In real life.
Yeah.
And it just bums me out. And I don't ever want to tell who somebody else needs to be or has to be. Mm-hmm. But, like, I remember one particular person who's just, like, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And our friend's mother.
And they're fine. They're fine.
It is what it is, right? You're right? Entertaining to have around.
For a while.
But when you can't turn off clown mode and we're visiting someone's dying mom in hospice for the last time and you're still trying to be a goofball, maybe back it off a little bit.
Right. Exactly.
I know too many people in my life, and I'm getting to an age now where I just, like, I don't have patience or understanding for it anymore.
Right.
It's like, buddy, we gotta shape up a little bit.
So this guy did serious up a few times when shit got real.
Correct.
But for the most part, he was just goofy. But he was also incredibly smart. He just hid it behind this wall of goofiness.
I did like that he was a wandering nomad.
A little bit.
Because something about his mom whatever, his parents or whatever.
Can I crash on your house? Or can I crash on your couch tonight? Yeah, man. But there were some...
I did laugh when he said, it's got Joplin and Hendrix and Keith Moon. It's a mixtape of all these artists that died on their own vomit, man. And I did laugh.
I know people like that.
I did laugh at that. That fucking got me.
But the thing that made him invaluable was he had the Rainbow Books.
He did.
Now... Back then, and I remember looking it up, the Rainbow Books were a thing.
Oh, yes.
Are they still a thing?
No. No, because when we got off of the analog telecom infrastructure and started moving into fiber and digital, like all that shit's completely different now.
Gotcha.
Because now you're dealing with the TCP/IP protocols and you're not dealing with analog calls and analog communications anymore. You're just not. Now, encryption standards have changed. And
I think there is one that I know for a fact, and I think it's the Red Book that they still use, which is Unix standards.
Yeah.
Yeah, guess what? Unix hasn't changed.
No,
now, granted,
much.
People use Linux more often than Unix, but it's still there.
Because we're on, what, Red Hat 7 now? Or is it still Red Hat 6?
Mm,
I did Linux. Red Hat 5 in college, I want to say. I did Red Hat 5 or Red Hat 6 in college, but I don't know if there's been upgrades. But Unix is a universal.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was, but a lot of what you're talking about, telecom standards, were some of the books that you don't use that
so
anymore.
It's so different.
That's another thing that dates the movie, is they were geeking out over a computer that had 28.8 kbps.
That's right. That's right, because they were like freaking out. And she goes, oh, I want to triple the RAM. I'm like, see, what, 156? Right. And that would have been stellar back then.
Right. Oh, yeah. I built my first computer out of scratch. Not from scratch, but close enough. And I was working at like, I think it was my first real job was Ponderosa. And I was a server. And I would come home with 50, 60, 70 bucks a night, not including my regular money.
Right.
And this was for a 4-hour shift because I was a kid. But just cash to blow.
Yep.
Whatever.
Quake.
And I would go, that's funny. That's not incorrect. I would walk from my house to the nearest mall, which was about a 3-mile hike, buy whatever, because I had cash flow, and then go to work, which was another 2 miles back the other towards the house. So it was worth it for me to walk in that way. And I did that, and I remember one day I took $50 and bought a modem. I bought a 52K modem in 95. And they're talking about a 28K modem. And that's when I went, oh, adults who don't know anything about computers wrote this. Because 52 was, that was the fastest you could get at the time. And then back then, when was it a T1 line was something you could get, but it was like $1,000 to get
T1,
put in your house?
T1 was extremely expensive.
Or ISDN? In any case, T1 was like what corporations had.
Yeah.
And you could get it, but it was like $1,000.
I lived in an apartment that still had a legacy T1 line installed.
Huh.
Because when I moved in, they're like, would you like a T1 connection? It's going to cost you $113 a month, but you'll get full speed. And I sat for a minute and I really thought about it. And then I finally said, why the fuck is there a T1 line in here? Like, why is there a T1 line in my rented house? Like, somebody ran a business out of here at one point. And I'm like, I bet not. I bet you got lied to so that somebody could have bitchin' internet.
Right. So that, I mean, that was back in the days of dial up, but I was doing twice that fast.
Jesus.
Dated as shit.
Because what year did AOL finally release 56K? When did 56K modems become
56K, yeah.
Yeah, when did 56K modem become a standard install? Was it like 98, 99?
97, 98, 99, yeah.
When Gateway blew up.
Yeah. And then around that time was when high speed became a thing. DSL became affordable to people. Because I got DSL in 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was huge.
So this little kid turns 18. He's integrating into the high school hacker culture. The hot girl who also hacks has a weird boyfriend who makes no sense. And she breaks up with him basically because she takes a break from making out with him to talk about computers and just dismisses him from the room.
He's like,
never see boyfriend guy again.
He says, you're not going to be talking about that shit now because they were making out. And she's like, 1 minute. And then starts talking about computer. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And walks away.
And he's gone forever.
Yeah, he's gone forever.
Gone forever.
So let's be honest. You were just there because she was horny.
Oh, boy. The outfits. The main Dade character cannot not wear vests.
Very 90s.
And I tried to think back of when I was in high school if anybody wore like camo clothing to school. And I'm pretty sure that was just not allowed.
Who wore camo?
He had a camo vest that he wore at one point.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing?
I don't remember any dudes wearing animal prints. So, but he was obviously very supposed to be kind of gay.
I guess.
I think.
And he was a freak.
Yeah, I have in my notes, freak is fabulous. So
yeah, that is an accurate because
that's the description I would give. But I ambiguously gay, I guess. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just 1995, different time.
Oh man, I did like the phone hacks. Well, then there was Razor and Blade, which that's a whole other thing.
A whole thing. So, so I think that's a call out to pirate radio of the time.
Yeah, because you could not host a TV show on public access or any other kind of access that you literally glorified illegal breaking acts of technology. Like, right. Come on now.
But pirate radio.
But it's an excuse to have a rave. It's an excuse to have a 90s rave club in your movie.
Yep. Exactly.
The quintessential 90s things. The VR game that they play in the club to show dominance over one another.
Which that game looked dumb.
That game looked really stupid. And who has a bomb that's a bouncy bomb? Like, what was that? I don't know what game that was, but it was stupid.
I think it was created because I remembered it as Wipeout, but I think I was thinking of a different movie. Wipeout, the racing game. And I think I was thinking it was a different movie. Mm-hmm. I was watching it here and I was like, that's not what I remember.
And in the club is a rollerblading arena.
With ramps.
Oh, rollerblading. Now, I was an inline skater.
So was I.
And it was in the years that it was dying, and everyone was like, this has got to go away. But Razor scooters are sweet. It's like, go fuck yourself.
Man. I was a rollerblader at the time of this movie up until I graduated high school.
I'm good on skates, but I played roller hockey. Roller hockey was a supplement of ice hockey. So like to me, that was just an extension of the only sport in my life, that and jiu-jitsu, that I've been good at.
We played street hockey. I was pretty good. I mean, I wasn't great, but I was pretty good. I rode skateboards all through the 80s and 90s, well, through the 90s at least, and I can't ollie. I could never do anything with it. It was just a faster way for me to get from point A to point B, right?
God forbid the sidewalk wasn't even.
Right. And then I got rollerblades because then I could step over the stick in the middle of the road and I could jump and actually feel like I'm doing something.
I maintain that rollerblades get too much shit.
Yes.
Calm down on your rollerblade hate.
If I had some, I would totally use them, but I don't have any.
You can get some like real good ones with grind plates pre-installed for less than $100 now.
I'm not gonna, because I'll break my neck. Because I'm much fatter than I was in high school.
I saw a video of Tony Hawk hitting a 900 when he turned 50. And I was like, what the fuck?
I know, right?
That's insane, right?
He did. So there's a 900, but he's done a 1080 before.
Sorry,
right?
A 1080. Yeah. No, he did a 900, though.
Yeah.
He was the first person to land a 900 in competition. But yes, he has done a 1080. But yeah, he did a 900 at 50 years old.
Right.
Which is just fucking nuts.
No.
I also like his brand of clothing, oddly.
The Kohl's.
Yeah, Hawk clothing line.
Yeah.
It's good design, simple
it's
shit.
Really it's good. That's
good quality clothing.
The stuff that, you know, people like my son wear.
Hey, it's all fine and good.
Do they make them in your size?
Yes.
Huh.
Maybe. I don't know. I wear band t-shirts and jeans.
So there's this really convoluted plot of Hold on. There's a oil company where apparently...
Is it, though? Is it an oil company?
I'm pretty sure.
Is it?
Is it? And are you really?
Is it? Was it?
Thanks, Jim Norton. Thank you. Here's the thing that I found was hilarious because it's used later on in my life. It's basically the plot to Office Space.
Yeah.
They're taking a fraction of a penny.
Here's the part that drives me fucking nuts. That doesn't make any sense compared to the larger story that they build. They build this gigantic story that it's the Leonardo da Vinci virus. And the da Vinci virus is going to pick 5 ships around the world randomly to digitally shift the ballast. Now, I'm telling you, and you were on boats.
Yes.
Boats and hose professional, Tom. Thomas. You and I both know that there are zero boats in the world that have satellite-controlled ballast.
Right.
For any reason.
Right. No, well, and in this day and age, yes, I'm sure that there is a fail-safe. It is a fail-safe, not primary control.
Well, you get caught in a hurricane. You need to be able to control the ballast.
Fail-safe, not primary control, that says that if there's an emergency and somebody can't get to the manual releases, that you can, from your, you know, mainland in New York City, press a button and it will fix itself, or you can tell it to fix itself. Not everything's computerized and there is no manual. Are you fucking kidding me?
All of our oil freighters are like electric slot cars.
I went too quick around the corner. It's fucking
ridiculous bullshit is that?
Yes, I agree.
But that is a front for the fact that they have a worm that's hidden in the garbage folder.
Mm-hmm.
Not the trash. Not the recycling
It's a garbage
bin,
file.
Not the the garbage folder. The garbage folder contains another worm that is literally the Office Space bug.
Yes.
What in the fuck is going on?
And
in this
one's
movie?
Supposed to be a cover for the other.
Correct.
Okay. Again, they tried to make it. They realized, I think what it was, the writer's room saw how thin the plot was and thickened it up with corn flour. And this is what came
up. And I like that the implications of the frigate going over were global ecological disasters.
Well,
oh no, the seagulls and penguins. Dawn is going to shoot more commercials.
Well, I mean, to be fair, if we're being fair about
I know, the Exxon Valdez.
If what happened in PP, right, yeah, with the, what was the Horizon Zero Dawn, what was that called?
Which? BP? The BP oil the BP, spill outside of Louisiana?
Yeah.
I can't remember what the ship's name was.
Daywater Horizon or something like that. They made a movie, Deepwater Horizon, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
If that happened... That happened there, and it was a big deal, and that was in the Gulf,
yeah,
right? If it happened there and four other places worldwide, and if those were near, and I'm sure strategically picked, near...
No, they were randomly selected.
Right, sure. you know, near actual thoroughfares of commerce, yeah, that would be a pretty big fucking deal still.
The other thing that kept cracking me up is that they
was
kept
that,
on...
That was Dr. Melfi?
Well, they kept on saying that the Secret Service is going to be up their ass. No, which it's,
that was true at the time.
The FBI does more of it now.
I would agree.
I mean, there are task forces and cybercrime units and stuff like that, but...
I think it was just the Secret Service back then.
Was
if
it
I'm
because
not
it was
mistaken.
Small enough?
Yeah. A lot of times hacking in dealing with that
primary,
was either... State secrets or money.
Yeah, but also, I mean, the prime villain of Ghostbusters was the EPA, so...
not Gozer.
I kind of chalked it up to, like, that thing.
It's not Gozer that's the bad guy here.
That's an
it's
EPA this man fucking that... issue. I just remember our first episode.
This man has no dick. this dickless man. That's true. I heard he has... I'm just telling you what I heard. He has no dick.
What?
Now, did you notice that was Dr. Melfi?
Yeah. And they frame the youngest kid who doesn't have a handle because
he didn't frame
whatever.
Him. He did the thing and
he
got caught.
He hacked them, but then they framed him for installing the Da Vinci virus.
Well, yeah.
So that the other people could get away with all the money. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Penn Jillette's the fucking tech security guard. And what's
I was
hilarious,
wondering when you were going to mention
and
that.
What's hilarious is I text you, I'm like, hey, look, a cameo by Penn Jillette. And you text me back and goes, nope, not a cameo.
I waited half an hour before I did that so that you would have seen him again. Yeah, that's not a cameo. Just you wait.
That's him paying bills. Oh, this movie. I don't even know what to fucking say. Can we talk about the fact that all of the computer databases and all of the hacking
3D
take
spaces
place with 3D rendered physical graphics? I'm like, that is not how we even data visualize today.
Exactly, right? And so
even today we think flat files are more beautiful.
When we look at, like, whenever they showed the computer screens that these kids were looking at,
now,
it was never commands.
I'll say this. Yeah, it was never commands. It was never any language of any kind. They were just like images scrolling around. Yeah. The closest thing...
They were pretty.
The closest thing to realistic visualizations of databases that I saw in this film are the big green towers with the text vertically... Yep. Because that is actually how we visualize server indexes.
Yeah.
So if you do like a database index, that's kind of how those work.
But they're not towers in the middle of a room.
No.
They are long strings of...
bind
folders,
long strings of text, and then you have a key that then pushes back to other index data that's linked to it.
That pushes, and then that hierarchy is out, just like a regular folder subfolder relationship works. Right.
And so data indexing, that's kind of how that's gets visualized.
So that was something that they did right, but visually was completely wrong.
Complete mess.
And like the when they had the big thing up and different, when all of the hackers were attacking and different pieces went red. Oh, they're in the... No, you're not in the...
No.
You either have accessed it or did not access it. Yeah. They are not in it. It's not like you can isolate them. They can just cut their connection. It's fine.
It's not fucking Tron.
Right. So, I mean, that was one thing that they kept saying was like, oh, he's in the...
Well, and
he's
I wanted to give it some credit and say, even all that included, I did think that the graphics didn't look bad. But
no,
then,
they don't.
But then I remembered something. You ready for that to be upended?
Mm.
Toy Story came out before this movie.
Right, but Toy Story was a different thing.
So, but...
But...
I don't know. The graphics... I mean, obviously, they're not going to pour a shitload of money into this.
They
didn't look bad.
They weren't interested at all in trying to represent actual anything. They just wanted something that looked flashy and futuristic, and how an older person would, or somebody who doesn't know anything about computers, would visualize how computers work. And that they, I would say,
it's
even though
bad.
It's wrong,
it's not bad.
It did its job. It's very futuristic. It doesn't look like it makes sense because it's not supposed to. You're supposed to have something to look at that's not blinking text on a screen. And I'm sure that was a note. I bet you at one point they had actual code up. And they were like, no, that's boring. People won't know what they're looking at. People don't understand what code is and they don't get it. So put something on there that's visually interesting. Now in 95, that makes sense, right?
Right.
It's the same kind of thing that I have a problem with when you watch any movie where there's downloading or uploading of files. It's never 0, 1, 2, 10,
it's jumps.
27.
Yeah.
That's how it really works, right? Yeah. In any movie, it's a straight, smooth crawl.
Ooh.
Right. It's like filling up a water glass every time, and nothing works that way. And always, 98 to 100 takes as long as 0 to 98.
Correct.
That's how shit works.
What, the only application I have that downloads exactly like the movies show it is when I download podcasts on my iPhone.
Yes.
Because
mine does it, that, but there's pauses. Mine fills up. But there's always, like, it'll go, no,
yeah.
There's still pauses.
I do want to give it credit. I want to give this film credit for a certain kind of hacking, though. This film fucking nails phone freaking.
Yes. And which is no longer a thing.
It is no longer a thing. Phone freaking got a lot of people in trouble. A lot of people in jail. And it's actually the life's blood. Our black boxes, blue boxes, playback boxes, and dial tone emulators were the big components of the anarchist cookbook that
I was wondering
everybody,
if you were going to
mention that. Yeah, that everybody could give a shot.
Yep.
And there's a whole bunch of very easy...
Not gonna...
It's fine. It's okay.
You sure?
White hat, white hat, white hat.
Yeah.
We're learning, not being criminals. No criminal applications are coming from this knowledge. But phone freaking was... manipulating the tone connection and recognition on the other side of the line or interfering with the voltage readings that were taking place on a phone line.
Yep.
So like a black box. Black box was an easy way to get free phone calls back in the day because old school analog dial tone phones would be sent a consistent voltage charge from your phone line. That's what was being carried through that. And then when you pick up the phone, the electronic resonance is what gets translated through the earpiece.
Why? It can shock you if you have a live phone wire in your mouth. I know because it's happened to me a number of times. I used to install phone systems.
You just shove it in your mouth and not think about it?
If it was live.
It's voltage, though, so it can't kill you.
No.
No amps.
But it's back. Yeah, it's back powered. But if you had to strip, the easiest way to strip a copper
was with your teeth.
Was with with especially with the gap that I have,
yeah,
that gap is the just the right size to help me strip it, right? So yeah. I do that, and usually it wouldn't be live, and there were times when I did it when I'd forgotten that I still had everything live, and it's enough to wake you up. It's stronger than a 9-volt battery.
That
for
reminds
sure.
me the product placement in this movie. We got to come yeah. back. We got to talk oh, about yeah. the product placement. But
you mean Jolt Cola?
We'll come back to it. We'll come back.
Man, this is a long episode, but it's I don't fine. Care. It's because of the
movie thing.
But you know what? If hold on. If that wasn't good, someone tell me, and I'll have words with you, Ted and Tom.
Dat 6. I know. It's the dast.
It's
the hey, sticks. We'll be in Philadelphia on July 7th.
You think you're going to mention that another time? You were saying phone freaking.
So one of the other things, blue box is kind of what they were doing, which is where you regurgitate data
the tone.
Back.
Yep.
I think that was called the blue box. So it a black was. Box, what it does, a black, your phone gets a constant
you're not,
stream.
Understand, you're not telling me.
Yeah.
I know. You're telling
know.
Them.
I'm telling.
They might not
those
know.
Listening. A black box was where your phone gets a constant energy send of 2 volts. And that's what allows it to be connected to the general line, and then it can go between 2 and 5 when your phone starts ringing. When you pick up to use your phone, the surge increases.
Yes.
To between 9 and 12 volts. It's 12. They can see that at the energy company, and they bill you based on the number of minutes that you get a 12-volt delivery.
Yep.
That's how they figured out how to make you pay your phone bill. What a black box would do is it would regulate the power signal to about 6 volts the whole time. High enough to make sure you had connection and had ring, low enough to make sure when you picked it up, the voltage regulator wouldn't spike,
mm-hmm.
and the phone company wouldn't know if you were on the phone or not. Super interesting.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of phone freaking technology that I am so interested in and learned so much about.
Which
and
it's unfortunately
all,
is...
It's all gone. It's all dead.
It's, yeah, it's outdated. But still interesting when you're talking about the entire system, and you can still pick things up from, and there's still anarchist cookbooks out there, by the way.
Yes.
You can still pick things up from that to understand how systems, and I'm not talking about computer systems, I'm talking about people yes. systems work.
Yes.
In fact, social hacking.
Social engineering. Hottest new trend in hacking.
That was a big part of the anarchist cookbook. But that's something that we have to, like, in our jobs that we talk about as if it's brand new today.
Yeah.
Because we both work in fairly high, we're high risk. We're not. We are highly targeted.
We're high value.
Yes. High value targets. That's it.
We're high value.
Both you more than me, but yeah.
That's all we're saying. So... I found it interesting because I have a very interested passion in the old phone freaking technology. Mm-hmm. But what, and you're right, what things you have to understand about the hacking elements they got right in here, when he calls and socially engineers his way by telling that guy, look, here's the deal. I've got these problems.
I'm in counting.
Can you just pick up your box and tell me what number's on it? Because I'm trying to get a message sent back and forth and it's not working. It's like, holy fuck, he just read the IP off.
It wasn't. It was a phone number, but
it wasn't,
yes.
But at the same time, it was a...
That was like, exactly what he did.
Basically what he did. It's like, holy shit, he fucked that guy up.
And that is social engineering, and that was the bastion of...
Yeah, and then learning...
Even my cyberpunk manual that I told you about that I loved, and it wasn't telling you how to do any of these things, but that was something that it mentioned.
So the thing I love about phone freaking is that phone freaking is a very small subset of a larger hacking concept where it's where you get into like session hijacking, cookie hijacking, code rebroadcasting, SQL injection. They all kind of work on the same idea. I get a little bit of what you're used to and I re-deliver the items in a manipulated manner. In other words, you log on to a PHP site or a I'm like way too tired to be getting into specifics, but you have a dedicated host session on your side and I hijack your session key.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do to become you is if it's poorly defended inside of that website architecture, I just rebroadcast your session key and the system goes, oh yeah, Thomas is still logged in. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing as the phone knows what $5 sounds like.
Right.
Your website knows what, and your web server knows what Thomas's handshake looks like. At least it knew what it looked like a few minutes ago, and I just send it in, and it thinks I'm you. It's very, very interesting. And then you can get things to cough up data that way, too. It's the same. It's just different delivery methods. And phone, for you can learn a lot about...
And patience. It's a lot of, you know, let me get this one little piece and then apply it to this other thing, which lets me get this next little piece. Yeah. I was a big proponent of the Hacker Manifesto when I was of this age, which is all information should be free. I'm smart enough now to know that that's not true.
So you refused to engage in a debate with me the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Which maybe we can save for the Mr. Robot episode. But I was pro the data concept of all data should be free and those shouldn't hide things from other people.
For a while.
But now I'm seeing that WikiLeaks is leaking all of the CIA.
We were talking about WikiLeaks particularly.
WikiLeaks is leaking all of the CIA's backdoor tools, and they are now being weaponized and used in the industry by people who don't know any better or have extreme motives. And I have very much turned my opinion around on some of the data leaking concepts and the items taking place today. Where do you draw the line? Because by trying to expose the CIA, you just gave, I mean, fucking howitzer cannon tools to a lot of very irresponsible people.
Yep, sure did. Maybe, maybe, possibly, and I'm going to go on a list, I'm sure, if anybody hears this. Maybe, possibly, if you weren't so subversive to begin with.
I don't disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that
it's
having...
It's a bit of a comeuppance for me, and it sucks because I'm someone that might, you know...
I don't know how much of a backdoor you truly need to have. Right. I don't know how much the CIA needs or doesn't need those tools. We don't know what they've stopped by having those abilities.
You're right.
But it is literally an encyclopedia of zero day and backdoor exploits that no manufacturers were contacted about and could have been found by anybody else too. So then you get into do you need that kind of raw power?
And here's my problem with it. You're collecting that information, right?
For what?
Why aren't you telling the companies so that they can become more secure?
Because they still need those exploits in order to abuse others. And that's
the point. That's where I'm like, oh, well, you fucked up. And now what you should do is share this with people so that you can start patching it. Or you should have developed the patches already so that when something went down and you know that somebody got your information,
you
could then... patch it and fix it, and you didn't, and fuck you the CIA and fuck you for everything that you do much.
I don't know.
So I get
it's an ethical quandary.
I get where you're coming from.
It's one thing to expose what the CIA is up to.
Mm-hmm.
It's another total thing to start giving weapons to people who don't belong having them.
But on the other hand, how are you going to expose what the CIA is up to without any proof? For one, that'll just get you in trouble. You can't just say, oh, the CIA does this. Everybody's going to go, oh, yeah, of course they do. Or, prove it. Well, here's the proof. And I've got the only way for me to do this is to put it in a public forum that anyone can take and use when it comes down to, well, now the CIA is fucked because they've done what they shouldn't have been doing with no backup plan.
I think that's the element of it that bothers me the most, is that when it went down like it did, they didn't start reaching out to manufacturers and be like, okay, here's the deal.
So are you mad that they gave out weapons, or are you mad that the CIA was collecting this information and doing absolutely nothing to prevent, if somebody just figured it out other than the CIA?
Both. I'm frustrated at both items.
I'm glad that you've changed your mind a little bit.
I'm frustrated at both items, but I still don't think it's okay. That's like saying, dude, I found that this guy is building a bomb in his backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to show everybody the schematics. That way, you know, we know what's up. It's like, dude, great. Now how many backyards got bombs? Like, I shouldn't have said anything I just said. But
yeah, if we weren't on a list before.
But that's the kind of mentality you're talking about here, where it's an extreme double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing just sucks. And then you have a list of hospitals across Europe that got fucked by the WannaCry ransomware. So it's, I don't know.
I think your analogy is broken. It's more like if Trump was caught, I don't know, assassinating Or no, it's I get what you're saying, but your analogy is flawed. It's more like if we were caught hoarding, say, emergency supplies, and somebody else found out that something was going to go down, so we just took their supplies too. That's what it comes down to. It's like we have what we need, but we're gonna take yours because y'all are fucked. That's what it comes. That's
well, but then somebody else steals the warehouse location and just shares it with the planet.
Right, gives it to everybody, and now we don't have any.
Yeah, no, nobody has any.
In any case, yeah, that's probably a better. I love that you've already. Oh, I already did talk about we're gonna do Mr. Robot, but you had to get through this first.
I see why. So we can skip our last segment. We got to end this damn thing and land this plane.
One thing, and this was a direct quote from the movie, and when it happened, watching it in context now, I laughed my ass off. It was when the big the main guy with the Secret Service got online. He was got on in front of a reporter and was talking about the kids and hackers and how they're such a
da-da-da.
He says hackers are a threat to the national security. Just fucking mic drop, phone throw.
Now what, bitch?
How did you see 12 years into the future? Like, what the fuck? Russian hackers are a threat to the national security.
North Koreans are the worst.
Orange people are a threat to the national security, both Jersey and self-painted.
Oh, buddy. You know, as cheesy and as 90s is as terrible and stiff and unrelentingly pointless as this movie is, I fucking liked it.
I had fun with it, but it is a bad movie.
It's really bad. It's kind of a shit show. It's kind of like the technobabble version of Waterworld.
Yes,
there's a lot going wrong.
But some of the things that they say, knowing what I know, some of the things that they say make no sense.
Yeah,
some of the things that they say are actual, at least correct use of jargon.
Yeah.
At least back then.
It was accurate.
There were some pieces that were accurate.
Yeah.
None of the representations of computers in this movie is accurate.
No.
One more thing. Speaking of accuracy, the one thing that makes me roll my eyes, and even then I did because I knew this wasn't true. What exactly, and I didn't write it down, but what exactly are the most common used passwords?
Oh, my God.
I'm going to tell you, God and sex are not one of them.
Sex, secret, what was, hold on.
Sex, secret, God.
There's another three-letter word.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
Love, secret, sex.
Is it love?
And God, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely not fucking true.
The number one
fucking password is password. The number two most used password is
password one.
Password one. The number three most used password is QWERTY123. That shit's been true for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out what message they were trying to send with that.
That sysadmins are God and the plague was the sysadmin.
And the general people are just love, understanding, and desire.
I think I get what they were trying to say with the God thing. Especially,
the God thing makes sense. I'm talking about the other three.
Especially with the old Unix mainframes where they were very, you know, it was 8 characters or less or 4 characters or less. And yeah, I get it. I get what you were trying to say. But it's not. It's never that. It's password. It's password.
Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. Those are also in the top 20.
Are they really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh. That's interesting.
So, come on, people.
I mean, I'm not the most secure guy. I definitely, there are sites that I reuse certain passwords with. There are a rotating file of like 20 or so that I use, and I shouldn't do that.
Stop it.
I know.
Stop it.
But.
Let me teach the world some tricks, right? Mm-hmm. Here we go. Ready? Here's how you do it. Think about all the places you've lived,
mm-hmm.
all the different streets you've lived on.
Mm-hmm.
Odds are you can remember.
Don't use
them.
Any of them.
So think about this. This is a really easy way to come up with new passwords, and you'll at least get 5 or 6 out of this. First address you ever had, use the first 2 numbers. First grade school you went to, use the first 2 letters, all caps. First street name you lived on, use the first 2 letters, lowercase. Year your parent was born. use the first two numbers of the last two numbers. Look at that, 8 characters, things that you know, right? So a stronger password is something you have, something you are, something you know. Mm-hmm. Not a random word that can be guessed or something like that. Mm-hmm. But then you can do first house, first grade school, first parent. Second house, second grade school, second parent. And then you can move to siblings, and then you can just kind of cycle this. It will always change. And then you can move. Like, what's your favorite drink plus your favorite food plus the year you were born? Like, you can really fuck this up.
I've done that. I don't use this particular sequence anymore, but I have in the past. And it was, depending on where I was, it was a place that I had worked, not any one, but like through a cycle of different companies that I had worked at. Like the first two letters of that or three letters of that, usually the last four digits of my work phone number, not my personal one, because I never use my work. I would never publish out my work phone number. Right.
Right.
So I would use the last four digits of that. And then, initials of different people I dated.
See, like, that's the kind of stuff that you want to use.
Yeah.
Deep knowledge, not stuff that's generalized about you. Deep knowledge items.
Do we have a coyote?
My dogs are howling because they're dicks. All right. So I think we're good. I actually like this movie. I would give it a B-, which is actually kind of shocking because it probably deserves way less than that. Thomas is like enthralled
by my dogs. I've never heard your dogs howl before.
Oh, dude, they howl like idiots.
Oh.
So I got to go yell at them. B-. I did enjoy it. It's kitschy. It's 90s. It makes no sense, but there's something about it. It's got some flair, snapshot of that time, and some accurate hacking things.
You've definitely got to see Mr. Robot, which will be your next assignment, but you've got to assign to me now.
I do. It's summertime, Thomas.
It is.
Did you ever get sent away to camp as a kid?
No. Or
did you get sent away to like stay with family for the summer?
No.
Okay. Me neither. Kind of. I went to day camp during the summer. Doesn't really count. Mom drops you off in the morning. Mom takes you home.
No, I took a couple of vacations with my grandparents.
I have told you before that there's
Camp Louie?
There's a cartoon that's the greatest cartoon of all cartoons.
Camp Louie.
No, not Camp Louie. It's recent.
Or Camp Candy, sorry.
There are a shitload of conspiracy theories and fan theories surrounding it. It is...
Oh, yeah.
It is not only a great cartoon, it is an entire mythology, Thomas. And it's all about going away and staying with family for the summer. It's time for you to watch Gravity Falls.
I've seen pieces of it. I've seen episodes from here and there.
I'll apologize in advance, because I would like you to just do season one. Now, it's like 20 episodes. But I think you're going to find that you fly the fuck through them.
20 episodes. That's 10 hours of content.
You might not make it, and that's okay. But it is the funniest, sweetest, most bizarre, most detailed. It is a whirlwind of a television show. It's on Hulu. I think it was like Disney's retort to the regular shows and the SpongeBobs, where you have like real deep comedy for teens and adults hidden in a kid's show. Like, this was just runs the gambit. It's full of cryptology. It's full of, like, really advanced encryption. It's full of cryptozoology. Like, it's a complete fucking whirlwind. And it's full of memes. And it is a weird, beautiful summer camp mess. And I love it. It's, like, near and dear to my heart. So I would love to do Gravity Falls season one. Okay, and it also has the greatest theme song of all time.
Really?
Dude, it's so good. And I don't recognize it. You're going to hear it a couple times and you're going to be like, I don't know about that theme song. And then after a few episodes, you're going to like be, do, 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 do. Like, it'll be in your head. I promise. I might even like try and do a version of it for the show just for fucking fun. But yeah. Like, okay. I love this show so much. Me and my brother-in-law, my wife, and his girlfriend, we're being characters for Christmas or for Halloween.
Really?
I'm going to be Grunkle Stan because I got a beard. My wife and her brother are going to be Dipper and Mabel, the brother and sister. And then his girlfriend is like a reddish brunette redhead. And there's a girl in the show called Wendy. So, like, we're going to do the cast for Halloween this year. It's like a thing. Thomas, it's a thing. Prepare yourself.
I've seen pieces. Doesn't like Grunkle Stan, isn't he like in a suit?
Yes. He's like a con man. He kind of like runs a knockoff version of the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum. So it's kind of a weird, just bear with it.
Okay. I'll
Gravity Falls.
I mean, I like animation, so I'll give it a shot.
It is a fucking whirlwind.
And I, like I said, I recognize it. I know I've seen it. I've seen an episode or a piece of an episode. I recognize that there's like brother and sister. I just don't know anything about it. And you've mentioned it, and I'm like, do I want to start
time.
A cartoon?
It's so much fun. Let's do it. All right. That's all I've got. Neg1Cast, Facebook, Twitter, Gmail.
We are going to be in Philadelphia. I'm going to say it like this because I feel like a robot.
Philly, Philly, Philly. On Friday.
It's not, it's Sunday. No, but it is Friday. Spoderman's Day, 7-7.
7-7.
2017.
Tattooed Mom.
Woolly Mammoth.
7-7, starting at 6 o'clock. We'll be just fucking hanging around.
We'll have
South Street.
We'll have name tags or something on.
Lanyards, name tags.
Lanyards.
Whatever.
Things.
It's going to happen. We will be in Philadelphia.
Oh, I need to get a shirt.
And I'll throw this out now.
But
those Phillyites, I need to
what
know.
What are Phillyites?
I don't know.
Philadelphians, you mean?
Sure.
Stupid.
Rocky Balboa's. I need to know where the real cheesesteak is.
Neither of the two
not
places.
Not Geno's. I need to know. And I'll tell you this. I don't do onions. And that Cheese Whiz like weird yellow sauce looks real good on TV. I don't want to do the provolone unless everyone screams at me, but like a Whiz cheesesteak, no onion.
Whiz.
That's Geno's. No,
I know.
You're not doing that.
I know.
I need to know where it's at.
It's funny because I asked.
I think Charlie's is what I always hear about.
I asked Hunsworth that, and he said the place that I always went to, which was near the airport, shut down. He says that was the best. I'm like, motherfucker.
So Phillyites. Philly Boas.
Philly Boas.
Mac D's and Charlie's.
Sweet D's.
Sweet D's and Charlie's. Tell me where the Philly cheesesteak is. That's all we got. Gravity Falls. I'm really excited for next week because if you fall in love with the show like I did, it might be the most excited episode we've ever had. That's all I got. The fuck are you dancing to?
I don't know. Just trying to make
you. Oh, we didn't mention that Hackers is so full of the Prodigy. It made me happy. I loved the soundtrack.
That's Prodigy, a lot of Orbital, yeah. A lot of 90s.
It's fucking good.
Yeah.
I dug it.
I'm the fire starter.
Me, man. I liked it.
I'm fucking Instigator.
That's it. We're done.
Danger Illustrator.
Voodoo. Voodoo people. Great song.
Yeah, that's in there.
Yeah, that's it. Also, I got Pendulum remix of that song is fucking great. We're done.
Keep it up. I'm going to keep hitting your mic.
Egg shaker. Balls. Don't touch my microphones. Stop. You're going to break it. What the fuck's wrong with you? What are you doing?
Rock band.
No, get out. Stop. It's not a microphone that is drums. It's a microphone for drums. This is the fucking waste of time.
Well, why don't you press the fucking button?
Because you gotta stop pounding so that the music fade sounds normal. Thank you.
NeoZaz.com.